More school leavers will have a shot at degree-level education in Singapore, with more university places made available this year. There will be slightly over 16,000 places in six publicly funded universities. Minister for Education Ong Ye Kung told the Straits Times that his ministry is on track to meeting the 40% cohort participation rate announced 6 years ago. It was 35% last year. But in the new world of disruption and in the age of technological advancement, does the conventional thinking that you need a degree hold true? My guest tonight in Influence is a woman who created a unique, unconventional and extremely successful business. She didn't win any scholarships in school. In fact, she was streamed into the monolingual stream in primary school. Says she kept failing in primary school no matter how hard she tried because she hated memorizing. Well, that changed. She completed her O-levels at the age of 20, but tells me she is hungry for learning, hungry for knowledge. Fast forward to 2001, Karen Tok, founder of Scientech, decided to put together and did start a business that placed human resources in the bioscience industry. All the more amazing when you learn that she started without a background in bioscience. Karen turned $10,000 of her own money into a company with a valuation of $10 million at point of sale. Just 46, she is retired, but she took time out to join us here on Influence. Here to talk about the topic, do you need a degree to success? Welcome, Karen Tok, founder of Scientech. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Okay, Karen, first question. Our topic is, do you need a degree for success? What do you think? Do we need paper qualifications for success?
Well, I think degree is important, but it doesn't guarantee success. Saying that you don't need a degree to succeed in life, it is not the same as saying a degree is not important. So I think education is very important, and in some cases it is essential. There are many valuable skills you can gain in a university, such as discipline, teamwork, leadership, research skills. They're all very useful in the workplace. But do not overvalue the piece of paper, degree, MBA, PhD, which could be the start of a downfall, as it may mislead you into thinking you have what it takes to succeed. Also note that academy environment has totally different scoring methods versus the real world. However, if for whatever reasons you are unable to complete or get into the university, it is not the end of the world. You can still get yourself educated on relevant subjects that are related to your field, and you can still be equally as successful as the degree holders.
Can you tell us what was your educational route?
Okay, for me, it was a tough one. Okay, I love learning, but I hated exams. In primary school, I wasn't good at memorizing, as Michelle pointed out, so I kept failing no matter how hard I tried. It was in my private secondary school, now called San Yu Adventist School, with nurturing teachers and having figured out better methods of memorizing that I completed my O-levels.
So you found a better method to memorizing? I'm sure a lot of people out there want to know what that method is.
Yeah, I just kind of draw out my words.
Like a brain, what they call it? Mind mapping.
Yeah, I didn't learn that. I wish I had learned that then.
Yeah, it so totally just, changed my educational path.
Really?
Mind mapping. Yeah, it helped me understand complex ideas and memorize it really quickly.
Yeah.
And then I met Tony Buzan years later and told him.
Wow.
Really. So, yeah, glad to hear that changed your educational path as well. Karen, also tell us, you know, you entered a private American college, and I thought it was so interesting because it was there that your perspective on education changed, you know, moving from education for living to education for living or education for life versus education to make a living.
Yes.
Was that important for you to have that switch in mindset?
It was very, because education for living is quite stressful. You study because you need to make a living so that you can survive in the future. While education for making a living, education for living, you just learn and you leave and you can unlearn. Then you live in a different environment and you have different needs. So you just learn and unlearn. And it's not for a purpose. So that can create an active learning mindset, which is, I think, is very important.
Yeah. From the standpoint of your HR business, though, because that's what you were doing in Scientech. Scientech plays talents in the biosciences industry. So when you own this HR business, were your thoughts on skills versus qualifications any different?
I guess paper qualification is still very important to most hiring companies, though this is not the only thing they look at. Roles where qualification comes first are mostly the specialized jobs, such as, you know, research scientists, you need minimum PhD, accountants, you need a degree. So where roles where qualification are not so critical, such as sales, marketing, customer service, that's easier. But if you do not have a minimum qualifications, you will need to have the X factors that others do not have, especially in the marketplace where degree holders are common.
Our guest in Influence is Karen Tok. Influence is where we crawl into the minds of high achievers and thought leaders. Karen Tok founded Scientech in 2001. She is retired at the age of 46. The company received a valuation of $10 million at point of sale. Karen, when it comes to building a business, I find it so fascinating that you started a business in the field that you had no technical training in, and that was placing talent in biosciences. So I was hoping you could share with us a little about whether or not you think you could do the same thing now, what you did in 2001. It's a different business environment. We hear so much about manpower crunch. Do you think this ecosystem would not have enabled you to build such a successful business as you did in 2001?
Well, I hope I still have the same energy as I had when I was 30.
I think you have more.
I would like to think that I can, and I would have the ability to, the same ability to learn. So really what is really important is having an active learning mind, which is the key. Yeah.
But you said that you wouldn't choose manpower or staffing, right, if you did it now?
Well, yes, in a sense, because it's I would be looking for more scalable business in terms of, because if you look into next 10 years, 20 years, we are moving into the fourth industrial revolutions, whereby you look into AI, you look into network effect. We are currently in the social and sharing economy, so your Uber, your Airbnb kind of business. But we are moving into robotic and AI. So therefore, I would pay attention to that if I want the next business and look at what can I do, what kind of business can I do in that. And for that, I would have to unlearn everything that I've learned and then, you know, take on my active learning mind again and then pick up all the new skills and start over again.
So here's the important point, and I think you touched on something a lot of entrepreneurs would have sat up when they heard, you know, how do you pick which business to start in? A lot of people spend a lot of time and money trying to figure that out. And I think it comes down to perspective. And you talked a little bit about, biosciences as being the next big thing. So this is something that you saw in 2001. Tell us a little bit about how you decided to pick this field, even though you had no experience in it. Why this field and not something that you loved?
Okay. I didn't have experience in biotech recruitment nor business startup. I just knew that biotech was a sunrise industry for Singapore, and recruitment services were the easiest skill that I could pick up and one that I could afford within the biotech industry compared to, business such as R&D or equipment supply. So I had to learn fast, and I worked 18 hours a day, especially given that I had limited cash flow. It was critical that I get my first few sales immediately. So I did cold calling to clients and candidates in the day, and I researched for resume and do various back office work at night.
You slept for 3 hours a night, I read.
Yeah, very little. So there are times, there are days where I had to sleep in my office with my sleeping bags.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
Looking back, it's all worth it, right?
Yes.
I have a question. Did you give up a salaried job to start the business, Karen?
Yes, I did. So I was retrenched at that time, but then I did have two other offers that was quite attractive, and it was still within the dot-com space. But I decided that I mean, this idea of starting out this business was, it's something that I've been looking for. So I decided to stay as planned.
So now that you have started and sold Scientech, what do you think of the current climate that SMEs find themselves in here in Singapore?
Current climates.
Mm. Would you be able to do, you know, what you did in 2001?
Well, in a different business or same business?
Maybe different.
Different business. Mm. Yeah. I think I would find a different business, but because right now manpower is actually an issue. Being in HR, we service our clients who have a lot of challenges in this area. So really, we have to think about how to automate, how to make the business operation more efficient so that we can have less manpower. So that is actually quite critical for business whereby they are heavily depending on manpower.
Karen Tong is the founder of Scientech. She's 46, already retired. So is it true you started your company with 10,000?
Well, more or less there. I remember at that time I was just retrenched, so they were really kind to give me a severance package. And with that, I remember that's pretty much what I had in my bank. But I did have to borrow my mom's 20K fixed D as a guarantor for my license requirement. So, yeah.
So really, you put everything that you had into this business. There was no room for failure.
No, not at all. It was quite scary.
Oh my gosh. In your view, Karen, what are the fundamentals of building a business?
Well, I think what is really important, number one, I think is keep reviewing and innovating the processes and best practices for powerful results. Also, have successful mentors to learn from.
Did you have a mentor?
I did. I had a mentor, a key mentor, and a few here and there. So, but I was.
Did he have a stake in the business?
Eventually, he did. So I realized he was very instrumental in terms of my scaled up days. So I think, I can't remember, maybe it was like 5-6 years into the business. Instead of just meeting him once a year to get advice, I thought it would be good to get him involved. So I gave him some stake in the business and asked him to help take it to the next level. But he was still a kind of a sleeping partner, but he was quite actively coaching me. I call it my MBA. Where we meet at McDonald's 7 a.m. on Sunday and we learn everything about what I need to learn.
What advice do you have for budding entrepreneurs?
Well, I think what is really important, I feel that entrepreneurship is not for everyone, but it can be from anyone. It is important to know the distinction between self-employed or business owner. Once you understand, decide which is for you. Example, being self-employed means becoming your own boss, and your business only makes money when you work. Okay, a business owner creates a business with processes to automate it, so that it can run on its own without the owner being there someday. So your boss is the business. So this decision is critical for sustainability of both you and your business.
Well, thank you so much, Karen, for being here and sharing your story. It's great inspiration, I think, for many of us just listening in on the sidelines.